Hello, my friend. It's good to be with you right now. And I think of different friends recently, and I said, you're with me when I take this time, when we gather together for a reflection. And hopefully this isn't a long one, but that doesn't say anything about the depth of our relationship. It's rather to take a little time, and just a little time today, possibly. It's to say something about the time we're in. It's break time. People have headed home from college, from Bonas and other places, and soon, or in a little while, high school and grammar school children will be in their home and in their backyards and trying to find things to do. It's that time of year when we actually have a little time on our hands. We might, if we would choose to. At least those in school no longer have to be preoccupied with what we used to call the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. So let me offer you and myself, and as we enter into this time and find time through Christmas time, the three P's that strike me this morning as I read the readings and pray with you for the time of rejoicing in Advent, the prayerful perspective that you and I might have to really hear and live the life of prophecy. St. Paul, who can seem cranky and angry and sometimes as uneven in his understanding of women and men, it seems, caught maybe in culture, though frees us when he says in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Indeed, the Lord is near. This wonderful sense of nearness that is part of the image and experience of a Lenten and now here Advent journey. You see, time of penance could give us a feeling that it's off, way off, and we are off sometimes, and what we're longing for seems distant. But the reality is, the truth, the joy, is that God is near. And we often reflect on that here. Francis's phrase, create within yourself a place where God might dwell. Paul also says in the first letter to the Thessalonians, 5th chapter, he says, brothers and sisters, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Beautiful phrase here, do not quench the Spirit. Indeed, rather, let the Spirit come alive to us as we take a break, even for a moment now. Maybe you don't have the chance for a break from school. You're still learning or working or bearing down on things, and then let it bear up in you. Let God bear up in you the sense of nearness of presence right now. For we know that really is the invitation of prayer, that God prays in us unceasingly. And so it's not first only our activity, but Paul tells us in another place that it is the Spirit praying in us. So pause and give thanks for that. You wouldn't have bothered turning this on and taking time with me and you and I right now, resting a bit from our R&Rs, reading, writing, and reflect, and arithmetic, and rather taking some time and remembering and reflecting and responding, or praying, to have a perspective, a way of seeing that's given to us, particularly in prayer, of this near God, this here God, this nearness of God's reign and hope and goodness, the Spirit that we choose now deeply not to quench, not to stop or still, but to be open to. The Spirit is the Spirit of hope and new life, Spirit of love, conversion, change, growth. And even in the winter time of our lives, as we enter into prayer, this nearness of God gives us that perspective of prophecy, which is always truly hope for new life. The prophet is the one who calls us away from possibly past or current practices to see before us the promise, the fullness of life. The God springing up in the springtime of this moment, the richness of the Christ child coming to us, bearing the gifts of eternal life, of forgiveness and gentleness, all the gifts of the Spirit flooding our hearts now. Those very things that are tender, and it's so important then that we don't quench them, we don't still them, stop them, but we stay still and receive them. This beautiful experience that is ours right now, the prayer that is at hand in our heart, this season, this nearness, this presence. I sense it with you right now, and it's stirring me deeply just to say that. And again, I think of you, I think many of you, but one, just each one of you who have spoken to me recently, and I to you. Gee, the tenderness of friendship, the classroom of our relationships, the stepping aside from big buildings and classrooms, other places, to learn again intimacy with each other and here and now, and in the same, the love of God for us, near. A perspective that helps us then be hopeful, to have a spirit of rejoicing that fills the world from our own hearts and brings light to those who are in darkness. It really is the joy rising up in us that helps this happen. But always, and now, it's the Spirit of God in us, helping us to have this perspective, to see this way, so as to live this way, to find this way with each other, and finding it, feeling founded in it, so that we might proclaim it with great joy. Even before Christmas comes, you and I can pause. We can take a moment because we know it is here and now that God is present, near, near to us. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. Again, I say rejoice indeed. The Lord is near. So let go of those classroom places and the burdens of whatever work might be now and pause as I break from this even present moment with you to enter deeply into prayer here too. God is near. And we are to one another. And I sense your presence and wish you well. And invite us to feel that joy rising up now, so that we might, through these holiday seasons, feel, hear, and prophesy hope. Prophesize hope to one another. Blessings and much love, my friend.